Deepak, big picture first, what variables do we need to look at when predicting climate change impacts on global food production?
We need to look at the first basic things which influences plant growth: warmth and moisture. So we looked at these two basic variables.
And tell us a little more about what your study looked at around the globe.
We tried to set up a kind of a baseline for how much crop yields are being impacted as of right now, so that the farmers can capitalize on the positive aspects. And wherever there are losses in the world, we can try to figure out ways to overcome that through policies or through breeding. And to set up a baseline, you know, like 20 years ago or so, we could not do video calls. So to set up a baseline at a high resolution that is in greater details around the world, and to do a comprehensive analysis, you need to study a large number of crops and at greater details at the same time. What was missing all along was the data at that high resolution. So we first spent a lot of time building that data set. Once we had the data set, we already had the tools, the statistical tools, to tease out how much is the impact on average annually on crop yields, the top 10 global crops around the world. And from that, we took one more final step, which has never been done ever before, I would claim. And that is, if the yields are impacted, what is the total production impact? And from the production impact, how much is the impact on the consumable food calories?
So as you looked at these 10 crops worldwide, there are regional differences, right? There are winners and losers as climate shifts when it comes to food production. Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
And which of those crops fared better than others?
Overall, globally, we found like sorghum did better. And we found cassava also did better. It benefited from the climate change signal. But maize also did. Maize or corn, as we call it in Minnesota, did much, you know, benefited from the changes which have happened historically in Minnesota.
I noticed that one area that seems to be benefiting in the study from climate shifts is the upper Midwest, around here in Minnesota and parts of the upper Midwest. What's happening there?
Yeah, so before I started the study, my feeling was that maybe upper Midwest was already experiencing losses. So once we did the study, I saw that the upper Midwest was not suffering losses everywhere. So specifically to Minnesota, I found Fairborn County is the only one in southern Minnesota which has a small reduction in corn yields each year on average. And it is 0.03 tons per hectare on average, which it turns out to be just one bushels per hectare loss every year. But in other places like, say, Rainville County in Minnesota, the climate change, the slight warming and a little bit of extra rainfall has benefited. And it's almost like up to like 10 bushels per hectare increase in corn yields. And in Fairborn, it is just a little bit higher warming. So I'm not exactly sure. Is it the crop varieties in Fairborn County, are they not more adapted to that slight warming? So that is the type of question you can start to address once you have this kind of a baseline information. So that was our goal.
Deepak, this spring is playing out in interesting ways for Midwest farmers. It's been so wet, fields are underwater, and planting is delayed or even impossible in some areas. Studies at the University of Minnesota modeled wetter springs here in the Midwest as our climate shifts. And if this trend shows up more often, how does that impact food production in this region?
If your springs are getting more cold, then you can expect that it's going to reduce your corn yields. And if it is also, if it gets more wet, then also you can have that issue. But over the long term, like over the climatological timescale, like over 30 years, the trend has been to slight warming in the upper Midwest. And that amount of warming for the corn season is around 0.7 or 0.8 degree Celsius warming. That same amount of warming actually has happened also in Indiana, which is further south. But Indiana is already a slightly warmer place. So on top of that, when there is extra warming, what has happened is there is a loss, a larger loss in Indiana. Whereas Minnesota seems to me to be sitting at a very nice spot at present. But that does not mean that warming, which is creeping up from Indiana, is not going to reach Minnesota. So we may not have this cold, wet spring in the future. We may have a much more warmer and less wet spring in the future. So that is a clear possibility.
How does this trend and climate shifts impact food security and essentially national security for different regions of the globe?
So in the United States, I was surprised that overall, not surprised, actually I was very happy that in the United States, overall, the consumable food calories has increased due to the shifts, the trends in the climate. But in other parts of the world, like in southern African countries, Zambia, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Mozambique, there is a reduction in total food calories because the crop yields have gone down. And the other two areas or three areas where there is a lot of reduction in crop yields and consequently consumable food calories is Western Europe, Australia, and Southern Asia. In North America and in Latin America, it's mixed. Like I told you, the story of Indiana versus Minnesota. So there are all these variations, like the Midwest, Brazil has a loss, but other parts of Brazil have benefits, Mexico losses. It's more mixed.
Deepak Ray, senior scientist with the University of Minnesota's Institute on the Environment's Global Landscapes Initiative. Thanks so much for your perspective today.
Thank you.